Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
A load of NFL stories today.
Yeah.
And we can't do this all by ourselves.
Nope. Good friend of ours, Vinny Iyer, is going to join the program coming up here in a bit. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts on the NFL draft, and also looking ahead on the offseason, what could be brewing in the NFL. Thoughts on Zach Wilson. A lot going on.
Yeah,
Oh, man, I don't want to talk to him. I guess that's kind of the reason why we are talking to him.
Wait, what?
Isn't that I think he wrote a piece on the Tim Tebow thing.
That's incredible, man. I'm excited for it because if he makes the 53, that, you know, I've got a little skin in the game.
Yeah.
And I hope he does.
Don't you think Urban's just throwing him a favor? It's like, okay, look.
How old is Tim?
33.
I think it's probably a bit of a favor. So he's been away from the game of football. Is it 6 years?
Might be more.
Might be more than 6 years?
Yeah.
Was that Bronco a postseason run? That was
2011.
Was that his last year?
No, he played for – he got traded to the Jets.
Oh, that's right.
And then he went with the Pats, and then he's been out since.
That's right. That's been a long time ago.
Yeah. Joining us now from the Sporting News, Vinny Iyer, kind enough to join us. Vinny, how you doing?
Hey, Vinny.
Doing well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Vinny, let me ask you this. When you write a piece on Tim Tebow, do you still get a ton of traffic on that story?
It depends. I think more people are interested from a general point of view than football fans. So,
yeah.
I think where you get it is that people know Tim Tebow from other things he's done. He's been on TV a lot in different ways. So a lot of people can tell you nothing about Tim Tebow's football career, but they know he's a football player. He got married. He was a nice guy, seemingly, that everyone likes, at least off the field. I think on the field, I think he annoys some people. But on the field, at least, or off the field, genuinely nice guy that does a lot of inspiring things. So I think most people know him that way. So it's interesting. I think for football fans, they moved on. I mean, we move on quickly to the flavor of the day, and he hasn't been the flavor of anything for almost a decade now.
Do you think this is a publicity stunt for Urban Meyer, or do you think he sees real worth in this?
Well, maybe they should change their nickname for the Jaguars publicity stunts, because it seems like everything they've done here. And you don't need to do all this. It seems like hiring Urban Meyer to get a splashy move. Then these London games that always seem to be on the radar. Then they said, okay, we got Trevor Lawrence coming in. Let's also get his running back, Travis Etienne, even though we, as an undrafted rookie, have a very good season for us last year. So everything seems to be splash and attention. I think the Jaguars are doing exactly what people don't like in Jacksonville that other people say they do, is that they want to bring attention to this franchise that, quite frankly, I mean, you look in relation to the rest of the NFL, this is not a marquee team in terms of there's no national following, there's no real buzz around the Jaguars. They haven't been consistently good in a while. Even when they went to the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, and you just didn't believe in them. You knew the Patriots were going to come back and win that game. So it's a tough franchise to wrap your head around, but they just were a few plays away from the Super Bowl. I think the biggest way to get your fan base going in the NFL, simply win games. I mean, that's the number one thing. I don't think you need gimmicks. Everyone has an equal opportunity to win games. Go out there and do it, and I don't know how they're going to sell this to all these young, hungry players. They're rebuilding, and they bring in a 33-year-old tight end. I mean, that's a hard thing to accept, and these players – I mean, most of these guys weren't even close to being in the league when Tim Tebow got into the league. So I think they're going to be scrapping, fighting for jobs. And you have a guy here that hasn't done anything for a while and just gets a contract to get into training camp.
Vinny Iyer, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All right, so settle a bet with us. You're not going to settle it, but just kind of weigh in on this. We have a bet as to whether Tim Tebow will be on an active 53-man roster at any point this season just for one game. Do you think it'll happen?
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, you look at some of the players that have a tight end, it's not very good overall. That could give him a chance to stick at that position. But I don't think Jaguars are going to be a heavy tight end usage team. They haven't been that way in a while. You look at it, they're pretty loaded at wide receiver at this point. So I don't see any way he lasts that long. And maybe that's not even the intent. Maybe it's just to get a Urban Meyer surrogate, for the lack of a better word, to be on the field there and kind of preach the Urban Meyer way as an extra guy in those positional drills when they're getting together, warming up there before they go full contact in training camp and all that. So I think it's to get a presence out there that Urban Meyer trusts, a veteran player that some people might still respect at a high level just because the way he's fought hard to always give it his best. And if he's not capable of doing something, you don't see it. He's still going to try with the effort, you know, as much as possible with Tim Tebow. That's never been a question mark. So I think it's a ploy maybe to just build a culture there with Trevor Lawrence. But to me, you have Trevor Lawrence. You don't need to bring in something like this. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a mature championship-winning quarterback. He didn't win the Heisman like Tebow, but all of the things in his resume are just as impressive when he was a college quarterback. So you have this guy that can come in and lead your team, play well right away, like we saw with Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert last year. Just rely on that guy to be your leader, because I think he's going to emerge as a young leader here for the Jaguars not too long into the season.
Let's talk a little bit about this Aaron Rodgers saga. Where are we headed with this thing, and how long until he's in Denver?
Well, I think the less you hear and from this whole situation, and as long as you don't hear from Aaron Rodgers, and as more time passes, less and less chance. So right now, I mean, it's tough. Even if you were the Broncos and wanted to make this a deal for him, look at how much you have to get done in a short period of time to get him into the offense. I know he can be a quick study, highly intelligent, probably can pick up the playbook in a month and be ready to go, but you have to make a big decision about your future. I mean, the Broncos kind of tabled that decision in the draft, that they didn't like what they saw there early and just said, okay, we're not going to tap into this class of first-round quarterbacks when everyone thought they were going to do that. So I think that's what's left the door open. But maybe this is just the Broncos' decision. They just didn't want to go after a quarterback quite yet, and they were going to see how it plays out with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater this year, then go into the draft thinking they need a quarterback next year and maybe feel a little bit more comfortable about the prospects that could emerge then. So it's really hard to read both sides at this point, but I'd say the more time passes, the more you're hearing different people share opinions on Aaron Rodgers, people that have played with him that might be his friends, and the way they've said, look, he doesn't love the situation, but he kind of put them on notice with all this, leaked a few things that were kind of constructed into a report saying he wanted out. I think it was more just a wake-up call to his team, and I think the message has been received that they can move forward maybe.
So you think at the beginning of next season, Aaron Rodgers will still be a Green Bay Packer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would say if you want a percentage on it, I'll give you 75% to 85%. So I still feel pretty confident about that. So I'm leaving a little open window that he could end up in Denver. I don't want to never say never with these things because they change in a hurry.
Vinny Iyer with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Back to Aaron Rodgers a little bit, though. If I'm the Packers, what can I do to try to placate? You can't go back and not draft Jordan Love again. So what can the Packers do right now to try to make Aaron Rodgers a little bit more at ease outside of firing a GM, which I don't think they would be willing to do?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the Broncos should see what they can give up to get Jordan Love. It's probably going to be a lot less, I'll tell you that. I mean, if you're giving up half your offensive skill players and future draft picks to get a quarterback, I don't know what that quarterback can do with limited weapons around him. So, yeah, I think they should look to deal Jordan Love. I mean, there are plenty of teams that could stash a quarterback. Maybe New Orleans won't like the way that Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill battle is going, and Ian Book may not be an answer there. So, maybe they might take a flyer on another guy that you could bring in. And maybe you see a team like the Washington football team where they didn't like their situation enough to trade up with the draft pick they had to make that move. Well, the Bears were a little bit more aggressive. So they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, not much going on in the future. So maybe they look at camp and say, look, let's take a chance on Jordan Love here. He's a first-round pick just a couple years ago. We can now get him for a much lesser value probably, and take our shot with him behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it's going to be very interesting here what they do to try to appease Rodgers going forward. I think they've already tried to do a lot. But I think the biggest thing they can do is just listen and bring him into kind of the leadership process. And people say that's not necessarily what a quarterback should be doing, but the quarterback bears so much responsibility of the team winning. This is a quarterback-driven league. Everything has made it so with the way the rules are, the passing game. So that player should have a level of power in terms of personnel control. And I think for all these situations, Russell Wilson's unhappiness, Deshaun Watson before things went south in another way, and what you're hearing from Rodgers, it's all because of Tom Brady. He controlled his situation. Look what he got. He got into his ideal situation to help him get another Super Bowl ring. So I think all these other veteran quarterbacks are getting the same idea.
Well, I always know a sports story is big when my wife comes home and asks me about it. She's not a sports fan, and she came home the other maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and she's like, tell me about this Deshaun Watson guy. It was huge. It was everywhere. I mean, my wife's talking about it. It must have been a big story. Obviously, it was huge in the sporting world. And now it's just kind of gone the last week, week and a half. Where are we at with that right now, Vinny?
I think there's just so much to kind of go through here. There's so many accusations. I think Texans have also tried to slow things down in this process. And maybe there's a chance that he could play through this. I don't see it. I see more of an exemplar situation happening with Deshaun Watson. And I think they kind of tipped their hand. When you draft a quarterback there and Davis Mills with your first pick that you enter the draft in, I mean, that tells you something right there, that they're really concerned. Tyrod Taylor is a guy that you can plug and play and start now on any team. He's been that type of guy for the past few years now. So I think it's serious business that Deshaun Watson, not maybe the way the Texans wanted, but he just might not be available for this team all season long, because they're going to have to sort through a lot here. This is very serious stuff that you have to just consider, because, I mean, there's a chance at the worst-case scenario that Deshaun Watson doesn't play again in this league. I mean, just teams might not want to touch someone, or the legal part of this might be too much for him to overcome. So there's so many wide ranges of outcomes here that we just have to wait to see how it plays out. But I don't think we'll have a resolution anytime soon, except the fact that Watson probably is not going to play, at least in the early part of the season.
Who is your steal in the NFL draft? Any player that isn't getting talked about a lot you think could have a big impact in year one?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of those type of players. I think when you look in the first round, I like all the teams that got pass rushers. So I like Gregory Rousseau there. I like Odofe-Owe from Penn State. I like all those edge rushers that kind of had to wait their turn. You look at that Jalen Phillips stepping into a good situation in Miami with the Dolphins. And I think these teams, I don't know what happened, but pass rusher should be the second thing on everyone's mind after the quarterback. And the teams that really loaded up in the draft, any of these guys, Carlos Basham there, Wake Forest. I like Chris Rumpf of Duke. Quincy Roche was a nice pick later in the draft by the Steelers. Just, I really like the edge rushers. I think they were a bit underrated by everyone, because there were a few injury issues that people were concerned about with some of these players, what scheme, 3-4 or 4-3. But I think all these guys are going to make their teams happy, whether they're guys that line up and play every down or situational guys that get after the quarterback.
So if I gave you, as far as drafted targets, Kyle Pitts or any one of the top receivers that was drafted, who do you think is going to have the more receiving yards out of the target crew, and then throwing Kyle Pitts in?
Well, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have the most yards. I think he's going to step in as the Bengals' number one receiver. Jalen Waddle, there's some competition there between Devontae Parker and Will Fuller there, and you look at Devonta Smith, there's a few different types of weapons. They still have the two tight ends and Jalen Reagor, last year's first-round pick. So I think it's going to be close, but I have Chase over Smith in that battle. So I specifically thought about that. Now, Kyle Pitts could easily lead everyone in touchdowns. I mean, he's going to be a red zone force. I mean, you look at Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, those guys are going to draw a lot of attention. Kyle Pitts is going to have a lot of easy routes and catches here all season long, especially in the red zone, where Ridley is also a very good receiver. So you're going to have to pick your poison there. So I see Kyle Pitts. I mean, if I was going to say one of those receivers is a lock for double-digit touchdowns, I'm going to feel the best about Kyle Pitts this season in Atlanta.
So when we talked to you before the draft, I said that it would be not a particularly great idea for the Bengals to choose Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell. You said, well, they can still get value, and they're bringing guys back off injury. Obviously, the Bengals sided with you on that. Give us your thoughts on what the Bengals could look like with that offensive line without, you know, Penei Sewell, who could have helped out there, but certainly getting one of the best offensive weapons in the draft.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Bengals' offensive line, if you pulled back and saw, okay, Jonah Williams was a first-round pick, he really hasn't had a chance to show what he can do here because of injury. But we know what kind of player he was at Alabama. And then you get Riley Reiff. He's not the greatest blocker there, but he's solid. You can put him in the right tackle spot. And then that second-round pick, watch out for him. I mean, Jackson Carman, he's a guy that protected Trevor Lawrence's blind side, but I think he can play right tackle. You can put him at guard. He actually might be better as an overall player guard. And don't forget, the Bengals also needed some run blocking improvement interior to help them there and Joe Mixon and take pressure off the quarterback that way. So I think their offensive line can surprise some people and be a little bit better. But now you also have three weapons there, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, where Joe Burrow's not going to have to hold the ball long. Someone's going to get open between those three guys. So I think he'll use his feet well, avoid the pass rush. Actually, in the game, it's funny, when he got hurt against Washington, this was one of the better protecting games that the Bengals had, and it was just a fluke thing that happened. So I think a lot has been made about that, but I think Joe Burrow is a smart quarterback. The Bengals want to see what they have, and the offensive linemen they already had, and now Carman in the mix. And Chase is a game-breaking number one receiver that they needed. And, oh, yeah, it helps that he's got a great connection already established with Joe Burrow.
Well, former BYU quarterback Zach Wilson's got a minicap underneath him, and obviously starting to work with that Jets organization. What kind of buzz or hype is coming out of there? Are they happy, thrilled, excited with their pick? And how far do you think Zach Wilson, or how much can Zach Wilson improve that organization?
Well, there are two systems that I trusted the most to get the most out of these quarterbacks taken in the first round. So I think about the system being just as important, because you can shuffle up these quarterbacks and put them on different teams and you won't feel as good about them. But the best systems, and this includes what the Patriots have, are the two 49er-style systems. So basically that's what the Jets are installing here, with Mike LaFleur coming over, the same style of offense. It's been very friendly to quarterbacks, especially ones that can move a little bit, are accurate, you're going to make smart decisions, and I think you'll get all that from Zach Wilson. So I think he's going to have a fine first year. I mean, he's guaranteed to start, just like Trevor Lawrence. They really have no other options here. And this receiving core is not too bad. You have multiple slot options. You have Corey Davis that you invested money in. Denzel Mims can be a playmaker. You got some healthy tight ends. You invested in your offensive line. So I think this Jets offense is going to be much improved. Wilson is going to be a big part of that. So I really like the way the Jets approach their offseason. I mean, thinking ahead a little bit with getting Wilson and the system that they had. So I think he's going to have a lot of success. And if Trey Lance can get in there and start for the 49ers in that system, watch out for Wilson versus Lance actually being the rookie of the year battle to watch here versus Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Fields.
Wow. Well, Vinny, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for joining us. Always great insight. Look forward to catching up again here soon.
Thank you, Vinny.
All right, thanks, guys.
Vinny Iyer, Sporting News, also the Locked On Network, Locked On Fantasy Football, hosts a show on David Locke's Locked On Network as well. So a lot of good stuff.
Can New York get out of their own way and actually be a decent team? That's the question. He just talked about some of the weapons, but I've seen weapons come through that New York Jets organization through the last 15 years that just get washed up, ruined, beat up, broken, beat down. And I don't know if it starts with ownership. I don't know if it starts with general manager. And I know that they've got some turnover. I think the GM's been in there since, what, 2019? And Salas coming in as a new coach, as he mentioned, bringing in the 49ers. It sounds like both offensive and defensive schemes, which hopefully does fit Zach Wilson. It would be a great story to be able to see Zach Wilson, a homegrown quarterback, jump into the league and possibly – not rejuvenate, but possibly spur that Jets organization into something better than horrible. It would be a pretty incredible story.
You know, just lift him to a certain level of mediocrity.
just any level of mediocrity. Just get him to some level of interest. But obviously that's going to be the more interesting storyline for me coming into this NFL season is how much can Zach Wilson improve what's going on in New York? We're all going to be watching that one very closely.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Tim's going to be a really happy man here in a second because he just got himself a big plate of those churro fries.
Yeah, I haven't even tried them out yet. Everyone's telling me how good they are.
Which I had no idea existed until just now, and this now needs to be a part of our lives.
Those are the two tacos I had, too. That's got a jalapeno and a steak, and then you've got a pulled pork.
Hey, there they're calorie-free, too, by the way.
Yeah. I noticed that.
Yeah.
I absolutely noticed
that. This Pepsi I'm drinking is, too.
I've eaten four of them, and I still feel very
light. You're fully leaded on the old Pepsi.
Yeah. I like it.
Tim's really got himself convinced. It's just thoughts become things, Tim.
I didn't even make it to the gym this morning because of this today. I mean, here early, so I missed that.
I mean,
so I'm really in trouble.
Tim's belt, man. He can do whatever he wants.
No question.
Yeah, sure, yeah. That's what I tell myself every morning. At least that's what I tell Marianne, right?
Yeah.
Wherever she went.
Hey, so I want to talk about these copper rain gutters. These things are nice, man.
You know, it's actually really cool. So what you're seeing there is what we call European half round. It's kind of that's obviously where it came from is the whole Euro end. But a lot of people want those. They really look really kind of high end. It's different. But one thing that we can do that actually nobody else in really the Valley can do, generally speaking, is one, we can do them seamless. But two, because we have a machine that makes them seamless, we can also do them in any color they want. So if they want that look but they can't quite afford the copper product, we can do them in aluminum, steel, in any color that they want. So kind it's pretty cool.
Kind of that arched – it's that arch style or the half curve style, not so much the box?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's you could do that with anything.
Yep, uh-huh. Yep.
Are you manufacturing these here then?
On site, so not even here. So we have a trailer. They're just one of those trailers over there that the machine just sits in there and it just comes in a big roll, a coil, and –
and so that's how you can make
out.
Them seamless because you can make them any length you want.
That's right. As long as I have coil. So about 1,000 feet. 1,000 foot gutter. Can you imagine that?
No.
Let's throw that bad boy in a house.
That's a Hans Olsen house.
I know, right? And especially copper. He can afford that. Only can he afford copper, he can afford 1,000 feet of copper on one section of his house.
I'm embarrassed to even show Tim what I'm trying to build. He's going to be like, we're going to need to just... Actually, you could probably do that yourself. That's a do-it-yourself.
Yeah, with those prefab kits, you can just build ones.
Yeah, but Scotty, the difference is that's not – this is his guest quarters.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay. When the guests can have that house.
I have you come out and re-side my lifetime
– my lifetime shed? You know, it won't be the first. maybe not a lifetime, but we'll have a lot. Hey, we'll do sheds. We do a tough shed. We do a home-built shed. You name it. Doghouse. We've done doghouse chicken coops.
What are you doing more right now, new builds or remodels?
You know, it's a really good question. It's about 50-50. We do about half of our work is new construction, and half of our work is remodels. So it just kind of depends on what the niche is.
You've mentioned this. It'll never be cheaper than it is right now.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And we live in a really crazy world right now and a lot of fluctuating prices. Get stuff locked in the best you can and let's go.
Yeah, it is. You know, we actually decided, I should introduce you guys, but we had one of our finance guys that was just here that does a lot of the financing for homeowners. And, you know, sometimes it's a better way to do that, or if you get a home equity line in your own home. But whatever it is, just get a finance or pay cash, whatever you can do. But let's look at it and see what we can help you with.
Because, I mean, obviously, the look on a home right now, and you talk about it all the time, it's nearly impossible to drop $200,000, $300,000, some cases $500,000 on a lot before you even start building. You know what? You've got a home of your own. Let's make it your dream home.
You know, that's the thing is we can literally say you live the area you like. You know, you love your neighborhood. You love your church group. Whatever it is, you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
But you want to update your home. Well, anything on the outside of the home, we can help you. We can help design it. We literally could change it. I mean, we can add a porch. We could add a deck. Anything you could think of or dream
of. You do decks.
So we subcontract that out.
Okay.
But we can make it happen. We could sub it. But bottom line, we're here just to make it a one-stop shop. So
we
you
might
can
need
call
to
us
talk.
And make it happen. Yeah, well.
Every time the wind blows, I'm on my deck. I'm thinking that thing's coming down.
Well, it may.
Well, think about this, too, though. Like, you could come in and you sit down with Tim or you sit down with any one of the crew and – you can work up the concepts, and you're going to be able to see those. Tim, I know you've got a platform that We'll show them what the new siding, maybe with rock or stone, looks like, or the siding with hardy plank, or the siding, or add the decks so they can see the decks with the siding, and they can kind of see the new look home they could have.
Yeah, we would just basically take a picture of your home, and then we put it in the computer program, and we can design it and put all those products on there. And look, you may just say, hey, I want to see what that looks like with stone. Ah, you know what? I don't like that. Let's change it to brick. Okay, well, I want white hardy. Oh, you know what? I want purple hardy. I mean, that doesn't exist, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we can change it, tweak it, do whatever you want, and we can adjust it. And so you can see the different colors and the different products and do whatever you want to do and make it happen for you.
Come have some fun with that.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to design some cool stuff on yours. We're going to do some pink siding or something.
I'm excited about that. Like dragon skin siding.
I go just pink stucco. There you go.
How about we go like pink and purple stripes?
Yes.
Maybe rainbow colors.
Oh, man.
Don't
mention this. My wife's going to be like, hey, Tim had a real point today.
Yeah, because like, Tim can sell it, man.
Honey, hey. Tim doesn't have a point. No.
let's get your wife over here. How about this, Hans? We'll go out on the lake. We'll take your wife out surfing. We'll take you out surfing out on the lake, and we'll talk some pink stucco.
I just know my wife's going to be like, Tim offered me 20% off if we go pink. I'm going to be like, no, I'm not. We're not taking. Hey, okay, maybe.
Maybe. You might, actually.
I might.
I'll tell you what. We'll go 30%. I'm going to mark it up 30.
There you go.
And then I'll take it down 25. How's that? I love it.
No, but look. Thanks for the good price.
Joking aside, we really are here to give customers a good price and do a good job. But we mentioned earlier, but we've been in business for five generations. We're not going anywhere. We're family owned. You've talked to some of the family here today. And we're here. We're not going anywhere. We want to just help you out and get you taken care of.
Well, I think that's really important, too, because some of these are really kind of intimidating decisions you're making. If you've never gone through this process before, you're scared, you're a little intimidated, you feel like, I mean, we're talking a significant cost, and you want to make sure that, A, you're being treated right, you're not taken advantage of, and you want something that's going to last. You got a company that's been around for five generations. If you're screwing with people, you're not being around that long.
No, I'm so glad you brought that up, because this process can be so scary, so intimate. Don't even know where to start. Don't even know where to begin. And then you don't even know where to cost. Like,
yeah.
Some hunters don't even know. I mean, is this going to cost me $1,000 or is this going to cost me $200,000? You just don't know. And the best thing to do is just have one of our consultants come out. Again, no pry pressure. Just come out, chat, and they can put something together and let you know. And if it's in your budget, great. If it's not, we'll kind of figure something out that is. But we're not going anywhere, and we don't want to rip you off, because we care more about the next customer than just you.
Yeah.
And if I rip you off, I'm never going to get another job. But if I treat you right and I do you a good job, you're going to tell your neighbor and they're going to tell their neighbor and so on. And believe it or not, more than 50% of our work comes from referrals or repeat business.
Wow.
So that's a lot. I mean, you know, we're the, not even a question, the biggest rain gutter company, not only in Utah, but probably in the Intermountain West. And we're right there on the siding in stucco. And we didn't get there by just, screwing people and marking it up 30 and 25. That's just Hans' special. But
to get me to go pink.
Yeah, that's right, to get go pink. But Joe, that's why we're here, you know, is to treat customers.
RGS Exteriors, open house continuing on 4235 Farm Road here in West Jordan, just off of Bangor. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Ben Golliver joining us, national NBA writer for the Washington Post. The question in every market is, can they win it all? Can the Jazz do it?
Of course they can do it. They've been not only best record, but most dominant. It's been unbelievable to watch them move the ball, hit the three-point shot, play unselfishly, and play disciplined. Probably their hope is that they're going to be a team that is one of those five fingers makes a fifth type teams where they're better than the sum of their parts. I don't think it's going to be anyone coasting through this Western Conference. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath, but the Jazz have to be in the mix. And if the Lakers aren't healthy, you could even potentially talk me into saying, you know, the Jazz are the favorites to come out of the West. And right now, the clock is ticking big time on LeBron and Anthony Davis in terms of getting them healthy and up to speed. If the Jazz aren't the favorites to me in the West, they're right there.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall. Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview? Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans? Recall. It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show. Recall. It's Total Recall with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall. We'll be right back.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Fun day today here at RGS Exteriors as we continue to wrap our arms around what happened last night with the Utah Jazz. You know, it's like if you're going to lose, just get blown out. They got sucked back in.
Well,
in the
they almost were. But then Jordan Clarkson's like, you know what?
Not tonight.
We're not doing the blowout thing.
I loved it, man. I loved and David Locke, I think, hit it right on the head. What a that is the Jordan Clarkson experience in one singular game.
All of eight from three, then finishes 5 of 8.
Because I could hear Lloyd screaming all the way from Murray about Jordan Clarkson taking too many shots.
Oh, I don't know if I was the one screaming.
Oh, whatever, Lloyd.
What?
Everybody was.
I didn't, what?
I didn't say anything.
I didn't say you said anything. Yeah. I just said I don't know if I was the one screaming.
You could tell that social media was screaming.
Yeah.
Social media was going nuts.
I bet people were texting one another in just rage.
I wouldn't even know who would do that.
I don't know. I have no idea.
And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, he just blows up.
He goes absolutely bonkers. And you realize what he's there for and how the Jazz use him. And if he's able to do that in any given moment, he's a special player.
Yeah.
He can create, man. He was creating on the inside. He's hitting, you know, those threes where he's just running up the court and shooting in transition is just – he hit like 3 or 4 of those.
Yeah. By the way, I did like the – not the last shot, but the shot when the Jazz are down 1 with, you know, 10 seconds left or something like that, where he attacks the rim.
Yeah.
I'd like that better than just trying to hang out behind the three-point line and crank some desperation shot. I like that they gave him a full head of speed, a full head of steam, get to the rim and try to finish. Maybe hopefully force a call, although you're never really going to get that call.
Well didn't he have back-to-back ones before that?
Yeah.
He had back-to-back ones before that. And so it was like, attack it.
Go.
But the officials decided to swallow the whistle.
Well, Total Recall, recapping some of the moments of today's show. Let's start with our conversation about the Golden State Warriors and if they'd be a good matchup for the Jazz in the first round.
And last night, and you know how many times I've said, I don't want any piece of Steph Curry. I don't want any piece of playoff Steph. How many times have I said that?
A lot.
But last night I realized I think the Utah Jazz would undo Golden State in 5 games in the first series.
I think the Jazz win the series. I might go 6.
You go 6?
But I
go 5.
I think that there's a certain setup here where if you have the Lakers and Golden State playing in the 7-8 game, I think I'd still rather have Golden State than the Lakers.
Yes.
And I think that's probably how it plays out with LeBron coming back.
How are you predicting the Lakers to look at that point?
Oh, they'll have their big guns back, and I think they'll be relatively healthy.
Okay, then yes, I agree with you.
And I think that you'll see the Lakers at 7, and I think you'll see Golden State at 8. Maybe the Lakers move up. I don't think so, but I think that's what you're looking at right now, where you're going to have your play-in match, one of your play-in matchups of Golden State and the Lakers. And I think the Lakers will win and go to 7. And I think Golden State will play whoever comes out of that 9-10 thing and for a chance to go to 8. And I think that's going to be the Jazz and Golden State round number 1. So be prepared for it. I think this is what you're looking at. And the other fact, too, is – and I want to get – you know, I don't want to get too much in the weeds in this game because I just don't know if it really matters that much. But I don't think you can count on 19 points from Bazemore – night in and night out.
Mm-hmm.
Like what the Jazz did, and I completely agree with this philosophy, is you're going to harass, and I know Steph got his points. He got 36. But they were harassing him to the point where they're throwing 2 and essentially playing 4-on-3, where you take Steph out with 2 defenders, and you essentially are going to have to guard 4 people with 3 defenders for stretches of a possession. And Bazemore made him pay for it. Wiggins made him pay some from time to time.
Yeah, Poole was able to do it as well.
You know, you got
Poole was very good off the bench.
Yeah, Poole was the other guy I was thinking of. You know, that's another guy, went 4 of 9 from 3. So when those guys are hitting threes, then it's going to be a bit of a problem for you. But I don't think that's going to happen time and time. And I don't think that you can count on that.
No, because you're two of your best guard defenders, two of your top defenders on the outside are all stars and on the bench.
Yep.
Unhealthy right now. But we'll be healthy. I think it just changes everything. The other point I wanted to make, I saw a lot of people on social media saying, why aren't you going to Rudy? Why aren't you going to Rudy? Why aren't you going to Rudy? I don't think Quinn Snyder wants to show everything. I think Rudy is absolutely going to be a threat. If Golden State is trying to run Looney, or if they're trying to really push Green to the five, and really trying to go small and trying to get athletic and run shots, then I do think that you're going to use Rudy. But I don't think you max out Rudy in a meaningless regular season game. I kind of felt like last night, what you were doing with Rudy and what you were doing with the pick and roll and what you were doing in the paint, and I kind of felt like it was all just bland. And I felt like the Jazz on the outside and then the Jazz with what they do with Jordan Clarkson was typical.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like there was any system, like Quinn was showing any hand, thinking to himself, maybe in a week and a half, I got to see these guys in a seven-game series.
Certainly could be the case. I think the other thing is without Conley and without Mitchell, what Golden State does defensively causes a lot of problems for what what the Jazz do offensively.
And when Golden State's a good defensive
team. Exactly. When you can switch 1 through 5 like they do constantly, and you do not have Mitchell, and you do not have it really causes problems for the Jazz offensively. And we saw that for huge stretches outside of that fourth quarter when Jordan Clarkson got hot and they scored 40 points. Other than that, it was a really, really bad offensive night for the Jazz because of what a lot of probably what you're talking about as well. But also, that's a defense that's really good that switches. And if you don't have elite-level scoring or an elite-level point guard, you're going to have some problems with that. And that's, you know, you go back to what Houston did to the Jazz back in the day when they would switch like crazy. It gave Utah fits offensively. And so I think it was kind of a perfect storm. I don't know if the Jazz ultimately were into that for the first three quarters of the game. I think they held back. I think what Golden State does offense or defensively gave them fits. And then Jordan Clarkson broke through in the fourth quarter and nearly won the game for the Jazz. But I'm with you. I'm not too overly concerned about that game last night.
Not at all. Jordan Clarkson started the game 0-8. He started the game 0-8, and then he went 5-8 to finish the game.
Yeah.
Jordan Clarkson put up 33 shot attempts. George Niang had 27 minutes on the floor. When you're talking about postseason play, Jordan Clarkson's attempts will go back down to that 20 range.
Yeah.
George Niang's minutes will go back into the 12 mark, 10-12 mark. You still need that bench look, and you still need the break and rest. But the thing is those guys are gaining rhythm. They're gaining momentum and confidence. Bojan Bogdanović, I think, is really found what he needed to find.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I'm taking away from the Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell injuries. Bojan found it before the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's big.
Yeah.
But what I saw with Royce O'Neal's ability to play a bit of man-up defense on Steph Curry, and he did a great job, picturing Donovan and Mike Conley back on the court, really engaging Rudy against – it is a good Golden State defense. You know, I think that their defensive scheme is very sound. And as you mentioned, they're very versatile defensively. There you go. You know, it's really interesting just to – kind of go through, you know, some of the things that we saw last night from Golden State, the matchups that they'll present against the Utah Jazz when the Utah Jazz are back and healthy. And listening back to that, Scotty, I'm ready to back that.
Yeah.
I think that the Utah Jazz will own Golden State when they're fully healthy. Now, there's the unpredictability of Steph Curry in a 48-point night. That can happen. In fact, that's probably going to happen at some point in that seven-game series. But putting Mike Conley out there and putting Donovan Mitchell out there, taking away some of – not that Niang's been terrible, but pulling back on Niang's minutes and really putting some of those backcourt defenders back on the court, I just think it's going to make a huge difference.
By the way, you ready to be a little upset?
No.
The under 2 minute report came out. They did not say that Jordan Clarkson was fouled on his shot attempt late.
Okay.
But they did say Jordan Clarkson was fouled on the three-point shot with 32 seconds left. So Clarkson, who, by the way...
Wait, with how many seconds left?
With 32. So remember the
Jazz... Oh, so not the final five.
Remember the Jazz were up two.
Yes.
They took that three to try to push him up five.
Yes.
And Clarkson missed it badly. Well, the under two says he was
but
fouled.
But ended up on the court, if I remember right.
Was it? And so he got knocked down. So he should have been shooting three free throws to give the Jazz a five-point lead with 32 seconds left.
Was that with the one where the defender was in his landing zone?
Yeah, it was Curry, too.
Right.
Which is another reason why they didn't call it. Oh, I mean.
So is there anything that they can start doing about these two-minute reports?
No. In fact, anything that's like salt in the wound. Oh, yeah, we should have called it, but we didn't. Bah.
You know what would be awesome is like public hand slapping, where they put their hand out and hit them with a ruler. And bring the officials to these Zoom meetings so everybody can watch them get hit with a ruler across their knuckles.
Well, I thought you were talking about... Yes, this is where I was going, Scotty.
Those Russian competitions where they just stand there and the other guy slaps him as hard as he can. I think that's a... Bring out your official, let him sit there, and then bring these dudes from the Ukraine or wherever with this big old mitt for a hand and just whack.
Or...
You'll start getting those calls right quick.
Throughout the year, they keep track of who did not get the call, and that person gets to stand there at the
end
of the year.
Jordan Clarkson gets to slap him.
For every missed call.
I like it.
There's got to be something.
Yeah.
I almost don't want the report.
I know, it just makes you feel worse about things. All right, final segment coming up next. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix, how hard is it for these great athletes to come back from injury and go straight into the playoffs, which might be the case with Donovan?
I don't know what his timetable is, but if it means he might have to miss a playoff game to get all the way back, you make sure that he's all the way back. I mean, we just saw with LeBron, who had a nasty ankle sprain of his own, he probably came back too soon, and it wound up costing him a week, and that's the last thing you need if you're the Jazz. You've got to be very patient with Donovan Mitchell. And look, this is the benefit of being the number one seed. Presumably, you're going to get an opportunity to play some. Somebody you should be able to handle without Donovan Mitchell for a game or maybe two.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone here at RGS Exteriors. Tim's with us. And Tim's been busy. He's been running around. His lovely wife came by, brought him a bunch of food, and said, hey, here it's here. If you have a moment, Tim looked at it, then got up and left, and then shenanigans happened.
Somebody stole my food.
Hold on, though. Hold on. If you leave food for more than 5 minutes, you're basically...
It's free game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you were talking about that guy at the airport that left his bag for 5 minutes and they had a whole police escort come over. Like, that was unattended food.
It's free.
And I thought, he must not want it, so I ate it.
That's okay. It's a good thing we're friends. It's all right.
You know, we were at a BYU media day once, and Taysom Hill came by with a bag of M&Ms, and Hans was like, you're not going to need those M&Ms, and took a bag of M&Ms from Taysom Hill.
Well, so, okay.
So I'm good company is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
But you know about college players. They get everything for free.
That's
so
right.
That was no skin off his back. He'll go back to wherever he got those M&Ms and just get more M&Ms.
Right.
So I'm like, let me have those M&Ms. And he's like, okay.
100% true story, man.
Because I know he's got more M&Ms just somewhere.
Hey, is that how Hans affords 1,000-foot copper gutters?
Just eat everybody's food.
So he doesn't pay any food.
Oh,
he just goes around and gets free crap, and then...
I'm not taking this.
Man.
Okay, I deserve it. I did eat your taco.
Hey,
it was so good, though.
Does he pay any restaurants, or does everyone just like,
is
Hans Olsen?
There's a little don't-you-know-who-I-am.
Yeah, I think that's what happens around here. So he keeps talking all the time about how he wants me to bid his siding. Does that mean, like, hey, you want me to do it for free?
I promise you I will pay you more than Gordon did.
Wow.
Because I know you're still waiting for him a check from Gordon.
I couldn't even tell you. I'm pretty sure he paid, but I don't know.
I bet he didn't.
Hey, it's been fun, guys. We appreciate you guys coming out today. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a blast, man.
We always love having you guys out.
We love that you take good care of us, man, even when you let us eat your taco. We really do appreciate it.
No, it's good.
So let's talk about some of this great siding. Let's talk about some of the different options. Like the shakes that you've got here next to the siding. How many people are doing full shakes on a house?
Yeah, I would say that generally speaking, you don't do the entire home and shake. Usually you just do it accents, you know, like a pop out or a bay window or something like that. And so just shake on the entire house is probably a little too much.
It looks like a beach house.
That's part of it, especially that color, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that color. I've seen a couple of done full shakes, and it's always like, yeah, that looks like a beach house in Maine or something.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you go on, like, James Hardy's website and look at the colors, the problem is that sometimes customers will go on there and come back and say, I want this color. Well, that's only available, like, back east for that reason. So we have our own colors here and the mountain colors, but and those bright colors aren't available.
Hey, am I mistaken? Does Hardy make a plank that is more conducive to Utah's environment?
It is. It's a great question. They have different zones. It's produced in different factories. And each has a little bit different formula, so that's a really good point. It is. And so we have the formulas are designed specifically for our climate. So like us in Denver, we have the same Hardy.
I'd heard that. I just didn't know if I believed it.
Yeah, it's true. It's all manufactured just differently. And then like, you know, Florida, Georgia will have a different product than like New York. And it's just a little different zones of product, and it's made a little differently.
But the way you install it means all the difference in the world, too.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's why, you know, we've talked before that we're an elite preferred contractor. And I think the reason why we do that is because we install it the way we're supposed to and because we install it per manufacturer specs. And we're the only ones in Utah that have that. And so there's a reason for that.
So if you're looking to put some Hardy on, if you're looking to redo your exterior, maybe you want some stone or you want some rock on the front part of the house and you just want to make things look different. Scotty talks about it, and I think he's right on the money. Things are expensive. You know, buying a lot is expensive. Just redo your home. Think about how much different you can make your house look by just redoing the siding. And I would bet that most people would be surprised how much it actually costs. I think people have these ideas that it's $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 to redo the exterior in the home.
Yeah, you know, that the average house, and I don't want to sometimes freak people out, high or low, but the average house on a siding job is about $12,000. So now that
Scotty, whoa. I'm telling you.
No, honestly, now, I would have gone probably double that.
No, yeah. It depends though, right? And so it depends on the house and what they do. Now, don't get me wrong, we've got several $250,000-$300,000 projects that we're doing. You know, so there's a lot, and then there's the smaller ones that are just a piece of fascia or something, but it don't let the money freak you out. Just come out. Let us look at it. Let's assess it and then see if it's a fit. And then if it's a fit, we'll work out the money help. Somehow figure it out, whether we do financing, a mix of financing and credit cards and cash and check or any combination thereof, we'll make it happen. Money matters, and unfortunately, that's what pays the bill, so I have to have money. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to do you right and to have the customers have a good-looking home.
That's, you know, and that's really great to hear because, you know, a lot of people are so concerned in making sure that it looks right, but they need to hit a certain budget. And the fact that you're like, let's be flexible and let's try to make it work. If we're above your budget, you know, what can we take away?
That's right.
You know, and just make it work.
That's right. And, you know, I use the three bears scenario all the time. Look, we're not the lowest price. You're going to find someone cheaper. We're not the most expensive. There's going to be guys who are more than us, but we're right in the right price. And look, we have to be profitable. In order for us to be in business for five generations, we have to make money. We have to. But we don't have to rip you off by making so much money that we live in $10 million homes. It's nothing like that. But we charge you the right price so that we can pay our bills, so that our employees can live a good life, but also so that you can have a good product on your home.
Love it. RGS Exteriors, big thanks, man.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Tim.
No, we appreciate you guys. Are wonderful. Glad having you here, and we'll do it again soon.
An amazing day.
Gordon was going to come by, but something came up, so he couldn't make it.
I know. That's all right. We still love him.
Yeah, we do. RGS Exteriors, for everything on the outside of your home, they'll take care of it. Big show next here on the Zone Sports Network.